CNN's Chris Cuomo tries to own President Trump, but the effort didn't go quite as planned. The Trump impeachment sham heads into a new phase, and Joe Biden wants to punch his way to ending violence against women. All that and more. I'm Bobby Everly. This is the 13-Minute News Hour.
And God bless the United States of America.
All right, friends, welcome to the show. I hope you had a great week. Happy Friday. We're going to jump into the news. We're going to start with impeachment because I just want to give you an update. You know, these public hearings are done for now. There may be some more, but it looks like we're heading into a new phase that despite the complete lack of any evidence of wrongdoing, the Democrats are going to push ahead with articles of impeachment. That's the likely scenario. And you just have to remember that this whole thing was not only bogus, but one-sided, all right? All the people who spoke were the people that were allowed to speak from because of Adam Schiff and the leadership of the Democrats. Those were the only witnesses allowed. Republicans put forth a list of witnesses. They were rejected. So the only people speaking are the ones that the Democrats allowed to speak. So talk about an investigation that's only one-sided. It's just ridiculous. Here's a report from the Washington Times to bring you up to date. After 2 weeks of impeachment hearings, House Democrat leaders were poised to draft articles of impeachment against President Trump, but their rank-and-file members were stumped about what should be the next move. Lawmakers headed home for Thanksgiving break, unsure whether there would be more hearings or when they would cast a seemingly inevitable vote on impeachment, with just 8 legislative days remaining before the end of the year. Representative Adam Schiff, the California Democrat and Intelligence Committee chairman who presided over the hearings, said the parade of witnesses had presented a clear-cut case that Mr. Trump abused the levers of power and bribed Ukraine officials to help his re-election campaign. All right, so the report goes on to say that they're considering 4 specific articles of impeachment. They are abuse of power, bribery, contempt, and obstruction of justice. And none of that was shown, proven at all. They were asked, the witnesses were asked about bribery specifically, said it never came up. So these charges are just ridiculous, but how is it playing? I mean, no one has been convinced. Republican Representative Will Hurd, who sits on the Intelligence Committee, he's not running for re-election, so he's kind of free to do whatever he wants. He's not a fan of Trump, and he's not even convinced. And here's more from the Washington Times. Says Representative Will Hurd of Texas, an outspoken anti-Trump Republican on the Intelligence Committee, said he wasn't convinced. An impeachable offense should be compelling. It's not something to be rushed or taken lightly, he said. I have not heard evidence proving the president committed bribery or extortion. Democrats had eyed Mr. Hurd, who is not running for re-election, as a possible crossover for impeachment. All right, so that's kind of a sampling of Republicans that you might think would jump to the other side. They're not moving. But what about the American people? How has impeachment played with the American people at large? Here's more from the Washington Times. A new Emerson College poll released Thursday revealed that American voters were turning against the impeachment effort. It found 45% of voters oppose impeachment compared to 43% that support it. That's a reversal of public opinion from the same poll in October before the public hearings on impeachment, when 48% supported impeachment and 44% opposed it. The biggest swing was among independent voters who now oppose impeachment 49% to 34% compared to October when they supported impeachment 48% to 39%, according to the national survey. Mr. Trump's approval rating also increased to 48%, a bounce from 43% approval last month. So these whole proceedings, not only are they bogus, but you have to remember what the intent is. The intent is to stir up the left-wing base, to stir up the media, and hopefully draw people outside of that little bubble to their side, to drive President Trump out of office, despite the fact that he was elected by the people, won 30 states to Hillary Clinton's 20. They want to overturn the election. They've gone from Russia probe to this, and there's nothing there. And the American people are getting tired of it. Independents are getting tired of it. And you have 30 or 31 Democrats in the House that serve in districts that went for President Trump. So if they cast a vote for impeachment, You better watch out this November and this election, because the voters, they're sick of it. They're tired of it. So next, I want to move over to CNN, because there's something that was really interesting that happened. And part of the testimony this week was witnesses that say they overheard EU Ambassador Gordon Sondland talking to President Trump on his cell phone. Gordon Sondland was talking to the president, and these people eavesdropped, said they could hear the phone call, and they drew conclusions from that. They formed opinions based on what they thought they overheard on a cell phone call. So President Trump was having none of that, and he tweeted this. I've been watching people make phone calls my entire life. My hearing is and has been great. Never have I been watching a person make a phone call, which was not on speakerphone, and been able to hear or understand a conversation. I even tried, but to no avail. Try it live. All right, so that's what President Trump tweeted. So guess what happened? In this panel discussion on CNN, you've got Chris, don't call me Fredo Cuomo, trying to prove the president wrong. So he breaks out his cell phone and tries this.
Very interesting theory from our president that he has really good hearing. Some would say the best hearing ever. And he's never been able to hear a phone call when it wasn't on speakerphone from anybody. So let's just play with that for a second. Mom, can you hear me?
So he's calling his mom on the show. And the whole idea is to show people that they can hear her when it's not on speakerphone. All right. So how do you think this is going to go down? Here's more.
All right. So if I were holding the phone here, I'm with Dana Bash. You know how you're always telling
me
to let her talk because she's so smart and I shouldn't say so much. Can you just say hello? Mom.
All right. So he's not hearing her and it's failing. He even puts her on speakerphone for a little bit to try and work everything out.
Can't hear me. Mom, can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you. When you talk to me, I hear you.
I'm talking to you. Say hello to Dana Bash.
Hi, Mrs. Cuomo. How are you?
Oh. All right. So I can't hear your mother, Chris.
So, yep, this is CNN. It's more like Fredo Vision. You know, it's just a joke that they tried to do this, and it couldn't have happened to a better person. So next, I want to move to some more crazy Democrats. You know, this week, the Democrats had another debate, and it was a snooze fest. This one was hosted by MSNBC. So the questions were just as outrageous as the answers, all anti-Trump, and it's just bizarre. So I'm not even going to get into some of the details of what each candidate said. I just want to bring up a few highlights, talk about a few of the Democrats. And in particular, I want to talk about Joe Biden, because he's a gaffemeister. He never misses an opportunity to do a good gaffe. And the debate was no difference. It was no exception. So this time he was asked about the Me Too movement and violence against women. And what is he going to do about it? And here's what he said.
What happens now is that we, in fact, have to fundamentally change the culture of how women are treated.
All right. So he wants to change the culture. Then he starts talking about what men should never do. And here's how that went.
No man has a right to raise a hand to a woman in anger other than in self-defense, and that's rarely ever occurs.
All right, so he says, never raise your hands in anger. All right, so basically no punching, right? So here is how he ended his clip, and pay particular attention to the look on Kamala Harris's face.
And so we have to just change the culture, period, and keep punching at it and punching at it and punching at it. It will be a big no, I really mean it. It's a gigantic issue, and we have to make it clear.
All right, good one, Joe. That is a good one right there. So next, I want to talk about Mayor Pete Buttigieg, because he's been in the news a lot. He really just did not take advantage of his opportunity at the debate at all. He's rising in the polls in Iowa, and yet he just blew it in the debate. So in South Carolina, though, he's got a major problem because he has almost no support in the black community, basically zero, and it's a key constituency of the Democrats. So he's trying to change this up. He introduced this Douglas Plan for Black America, and here's a report on it from Business Insider. In late October, amid efforts to win support among the black community, his campaign released an article published in the HBCU Times praising his Douglas Plan, citing an open letter on behalf of Columbia City Councilwoman Tamika Devine, Rehoboth Baptist pastor and state rep Ivory Thigpen, and Johnny Cordero, chair of the state party's Black Caucus, in addition to more than 400 Douglas Plan endorsers. But according to The Intercept, there's a problem. None of these three prominent Black politicians say they support Buttigieg as a candidate, and two of the three say they never explicitly allowed for a named endorsement of his Douglas Plan. Oops, that's kind of an oversight, but here's more. Devine, who has yet to endorse a presidential candidate, told The Intercept that she believes the campaign was intentionally vague about the way her support for the plan was presented, adding that she did not intend for it to be viewed as an endorsement for Buttigieg. Meanwhile, both Thigpen and Cordero, who is no longer listed publicly as a supporter in the HBCU Times article, said they never even endorsed the plan to begin with. All right, so keep listing non-endorsers as endorsers, and you're going to go far in the campaign. Just when you're trying to reach out to the Black community, you do something like this. It's just boneheaded and ridiculous. So that's kind of your update on some of the leading Democrat candidates for president of the United States. So next, I want to wrap up. It's Friday. So that means it wouldn't be a Friday without our segment, Do You Have a Relaxed Brain?
I got what you call a relaxed brain.
Yes. Do you have a relaxed brain? And this one is kind of a college edition. It's a special and it's brought to you by our friends over at campusreform.org because there's just so much going on. And this is just a sampling of the craziness. So first, I want to go over to Brown University, who their students want to do away with America's prison system. It says, a student group by the name of Railroad held an event titled Prison Abolition 101 on November 8th. The group seeks to ensure that American prison system is destroyed and believes that incarceration is inherently unjust and unproductive. Prisons were founded on the ideas of punishing the poor, punishing people of color, presenter Aidea Sharif said, adding, I don't see it as an institution that can ever fully break away from those foundations. All right, so we're going to do away with all prisons. That's one. That's Brown University. Next, we have the University of Oklahoma, where students want to get rid of the words Sooner and Boomer because they're offensive. Here's that report. So students at the University of Oklahoma are working to remove the school's Boomer and Sooner nicknames out of concern that the words are offensive to Native Americans. The decision to remove Sooner name came from freshman council, comes shortly after the Undergraduate Student Congress passed a bill in early September to execute Indigenous Land Acknowledgement, which includes a statement that OU students are visitors on the land and thanks the Indigenous people for being generous with their land. The reading of this bill will occur before all SGA events. The bill asserts that the word Sooner is harmful in nature to those who identify as American Indian or of Native Indigenous descent, and that on-campus groups need to pick a more sensitive name within the first 2 weeks of the fall 2020 semester. And finally, we go to MIT, who's promoting a citizenship expert who doesn't believe in citizenship, and this is what he's preaching to the students. Here's that report. It says, the Massachusetts Institute of Technology is actively promoting a citizenship expert who believes in the abolition of citizenship because he says the concept itself is racist and biased against women. MIT recently highlighted an interview with former Princeton professor Dmitry Kuchinov, a citizenship expert who vehemently asserted that the notion of citizenship is a truly racist concept, guilty of a chronic exclusion of women. Kuchinov insists that having no borders is not really as radical as it might seem, and that citizenship is not always about creating the borders, but that it can also be about precisely removing them. So there's your relaxed brain. Think about that. This is what's going on at America's colleges and universities. Folks, that's our show for today. Please subscribe, and when you do, please hit that bell so you'll be notified, and we'll see you next time. I'm Bobby Eberle. This is a 13-Minute News Hour. Okay, friends, just a little reminder before you go, and no, this does not count against my 13 minutes. Please hit the subscribe button below and tell your friends. And if you happen to miss our last show, you can check it out right here. And also for great conservative news and commentary, please check out GOPUSA.com. All right, folks, we'll see you on the next show. Have a great day.